You know, I've been thinking about something this week. It's for me, but it's a reminder that we need, because in this day and time that we're living in, the world is pressing for us to forget it. I'd like to read a verse to you in Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And I'd like to just stop right there. We're living in a time where we need to be reminded every once in a while.
Yes.
Don't think of yourself more highly than you should.
Yes.
Remember where you came from. Remember where you're going. Now, it's real easy for me to not think very highly of myself when adversity comes and I can't do anything about it and I'm in trouble. Then I'm willing to beg the Lord to look down in mercy upon me. But our trouble comes when everything starts going well. And if I'm not careful, I'll get to feeling like I can handle life myself. You know, we wouldn't say it to other people. We remember to say, I trust in the Lord. I need Him to help me every day. But if we're not careful, the feeling can be a little bit different when things are going well and when they're not going well. And here we're given a verse to remember. Be careful that we not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. I'd like for us to go to a verse in Genesis, because this helps us in the 3rd chapter and in the 19th verse. It says, in the sweat of thy face, talking to Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. A pretty humble beginning for mankind. Out of the ground wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So, if we can realize that I'm just made of dust, that's what God used. That's the material that He used to make me. Then there's another verse that I need to always keep in mind. It's in Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust, at the end of all my accomplishments through life, people that have become millionaires, the president, any high office, sports figures, we'll all come to this place. Then shall the dust, the thing that I was made out of at the beginning, it'll return to the earth as it was. And then the spirit shall return unto God that gave it. A pretty humble beginning, and it'll be a pretty humble ending for all of us. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So I need, while I'm going through this little span of time that God has given me, to remember who I am and how much I need God. And another place for me that'll help me to remember that is in Psalms 8. I believe it's the Lord's desire for these scriptures, looking at these things, to cause us to remember who we are and who He is. 8:3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? It looks like, if this was David saying this here, it looks like when he looks around him at all that God has created, what it does, it makes him feel real small. What is man that you're mindful of him? How is it that you even are interested in man with all the things that you've done? But this has to me, has a twofold meaning. It ought to humble me by looking at it, and yet it ought to make me so thankful that God had a place for me, because He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Should I become lifted up because He gave me that ability? No, I need throughout my life to realize it was God that gave everything to me, and let that glory go back to Him. You know, I believe that God is pleased when man has a desire to know more about the universe. I love it that they have been able to put a Hubble telescope out there and send me back pictures that I can't imagine that was really out there. I believe God's interested in people being able to have that ability to see something else. But you know what? We've messed up. Man in general has messed up because of that. Because the theories that they ended up with, I was just listening on the radio just a few weeks ago, the theories that they've ended up with doesn't include God at all in it. As we see more and more, as we get more of an ability to reach out and see in the universe, it only helps them to say, now we understand better about that big bang that happened. And we're even able now to start seeing how this universe will probably come to an end, and it includes God no more than the beginning that they think of. He's totally left out of it. I believe when people were interested in making a submarine and going down to the depths of the sea and seeing what all was there, I believe God's interested in those kind of things. Yeah. If it would cause his mind to come back with that song, How Great Thou Art. Yeah. I believe the Lord would love for us to be able to find out, as human beings, find out more of what he has provided for us, more depths to what he has given us. But his desire was that it would always point us back to God. Everything that we would see, I wonder how much farther could we be along if man would have admitted God was in it. How much farther would we be in studying creation if we would have always said everything that we find begins after creation? Wouldn't that have been something? We would no longer be saying we found a set of dinosaur bones that's 50 million years old, and that explains now how the beginning was. Instead, we would say, you know, these sure look old, but they can't be any older than creation. And we would just hand it back to God. Instead, man has gotten to a place to where he takes the things that God gave him that was intended to bring his mind back to God, and he causes it to drift from God. I'd like for us to look for a little bit in Romans, in the first chapter. Because we might say, well, what does that have to do with us? And we'll get there in just a little bit. In the first chapter and in the 21st verse, it says, because that when they knew God, when they had an opportunity, people as they started looking around and seeing things, when they had an opportunity to know God, they glorified him not as God. Yes. Neither were they thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Can you imagine how God felt when he had just met with the children of Israel just a few days earlier at the mountain? When he told them, this mountain is smoking, it's quaking, and he told them, don't come near, don't touch the mountain, because you'll die if you do. You remember with them telling Moses, Moses, you get the words from the Lord and we will do it. We're so afraid to be this close to God. And 40 days later, short time later, they come to Aaron and say, as for Moses, we don't know what's happened to him. Need to make us a god that will take us on over into the Canaan land. When they put the gold together and made a calf. Now how would God feel after all that he's done, split open the Red Sea for them and held it back for them to walk through just a few days earlier? It wasn't like centuries ago that he did it. These were the same people that walked through on dry ground, and so quickly they forgot it. So quickly they were willing to exchange the uncorruptible God into an image like the corruptible man, willing to take a golden calf, and we will pray to this thing. And then it goes on down in the 25th verse, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Have you noticed in our lifetime how man has gotten so concerned, especially like in Oregon? We found this bug that's living in this development that is being, houses are being built in. So we shut down the whole housing development because we will not let this bug be destroyed. Or find out that, oh, we just found out that owls live in this area. Shut down the logging industry, whatever it takes to be able to do it. And it makes me think of this verse. They worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. And for doing that, 26th verse, for this cause, and I tell you, this is happening in America. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. There's a process to when we start leaving God out of our life. When we start feeling like we have arrived, we are somebody. And one of the things that it said in here, neither were they thankful. That word thankful, to me, portrays the understanding of who I am and who God is. You know, we have been raised, I've been raised since a child, before you eat, you pray. And, you know, we can get that to become just a form that we just have to do it before we eat. But, you know, we need to let that be a part of our life. Amen. That it is, the reason for it is it's a reminder of who I am and who God is. I have it because he gave it to me. Yes, maybe I went to work last week and got a check, but he gave me the breath. He gave me the strength. Yes. He gave me the health. And I need to always have it as a reminder to myself who I am and who he is, and I'm thankful for how he has helped me. Psalms 136 and 1, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. For me, in being thankful, it's acknowledging that God is the supplier, and I'm the one in need, and I'm thanking him for how he has taken care of me. There's another verse I'd like to look at, 2 Corinthians. Third chapter and the fifth verse. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. In all things, spiritual and temporal, that I realize my sufficiency comes from God. He gave it to me. If I have health and strength and I have a good job today and I bring home a check and we can buy the things that we need, it was God that supplied it. The sufficiency still wasn't in myself. Because you know what? If I will be able to get this down in my heart, then when things change and my job dries up, I realize, you know what? It wasn't my sufficiency that kept it coming back then anyhow. He was the one that supplied for me then, and he will supply for me out in the future. There was another verse in 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. And I know it's talking about spiritual things, but I think it'll fit us for temporal things. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, he was talking to them about spiritual things where they felt like, you know what, I'm elevated spiritually to be able to teach people. But he's telling them, what do you have that wasn't given to you? And I think temporally, we need to think the same way. Yes. What do I have? I don't have a thing that hasn't been given to me. Everything that I have, you know, we can go through life and accumulate some things, and we have a home, and we have cars, and we have these things building up. Even to the point of maybe planning, okay, in a little while, I'd better start getting some money back for retirement. But you know what? I can't put my trust in that. I need to realize, what do I have that wasn't given to me? Because then if it's taken away, I can say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then I know that he will still take care of me. There's a song that says, my life and breath are in thy hands. My joys and all I know, I live and breathe at thy command, then shall I leave thee? No, I won't do it. And I was thinking about the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And it came to a point that he had something to do about it. And where we're talking about being thankful, there were too many places through the story that was given about him where he spoke about what I'm going to do about the things that I have gained. And all through those next few verses after that, he was only focused on himself. And I believe it's going to be real important for us as we go through this life, because I want to tell you, the world is crowding us, that you are in control of your destiny. You can do whatever you want to do. You go to graduation ceremonies and they tell the young people, it's up to you. Yeah. The sky's the limit. You go for it. You can have it. We need to remember, everything that I'll ever have came from God. And I wonder how different would it have been for the rich, this man, the ground of a certain rich man, brought forth plentifully. And there was nothing wrong in it happening. It was nothing wrong that he was a good farmer. But what was wrong in what he did with it? If we will realize in this time of plenty around us, that I'll never get to the place of what I'm going to do about it. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Yes. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And that's when the call came to him, thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who shall all these things be that you've built up? For each one of us to remember, for me to remember, as I'm going through life, I need the Lord. And you know, we were reading that, started out with that verse in Romans 12 and 3. Well, just a couple verses before that, I believe he's telling us the need of why we have. It says, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice. The only way that I'm going to be able to make it through this and not start relying on my own reserves. I believe I can make it on my own. I need to know who God is, and I need to give him myself. All I have, all I hope to be, I commit, dear Lord, to thee. And that happens throughout our life. A reminder, I need to have a reminder. I believe the world is starting to lose it because they're leaving God out. But we need to, in our life every day, remember who God is. In Psalms 103, he reminds us of it this way. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Yes. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You know, we can read success stories of people, Sam Walton or anybody else, and we have the little saying they pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. We need to always go back to this verse. Yes. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. He's the one that has blessed us if we have been blessed. There's another piece of a verse I want to see if you remember where it came from. Those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. Remember who said that?
Nope.
Those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. Nope. Nebuchadnezzar. Remember right at the end, you remember the first of the story in Daniel 4? Where Nebuchadnezzar walked out on his porch.
Yes.
And he looked out over this and he said, is not this great Babylon
yes.
that I have built by the power of my might? I did it. Take a look at what I've been able to do. And when it all ended up and the God got through humbling him, that was when he said, I want to tell you something. God's able to bring a man down. Those who walk in pride, he is able to abase. And I want to ask you, in your life, has the Lord ever brought you down a little bit?
Yes.
Where, you know, we don't want to admit it, but maybe we got to feeling like, I am somebody. You know, I know some things. Well, before I got married, I went to air conditioning school. And when it came time for graduation, they told me, said, and not just me, but all the class, they said, I want to tell you something, you are good. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not. When you go out there in the workforce, you're going to be an asset to the community, to the air-conditioned field. So that sounded good to me. I needed a job. So I headed on out of there with that attitude. And I remember going to Bethany, War Acres area, and hiring on with a company there, service company. And, you know, while he's wanting to see if I know something about air conditioning, I'm wanting to know what's the benefits he's going to give me. What kind of vacation package do you have for me? But he still hired me on. And I remember the first morning that I got there to work, he had some service calls. And he said, okay, he said, if you want to, I'll go with you. And I'll help you on these service calls because they may be difficult. So, they just told me at school, you are good. Don't let anybody tell you you're not. So I told him, well, no, I won't need you to go with me. Here, just give me the service calls and I'll go run them for you. Because I didn't tell him I was good. And I'm glad I didn't. Because I got out there to the first house and they showed me where the furnace closet was. And I think, you know, now looking back at these kind of verses, I think the Lord had something to do with it.
Yes.
Because I opened the door and it didn't look like anything that I had worked on in that classroom where they have all the parts are out on a board and you can troubleshoot them just like that. This was inside a regular furnace. And I stood there and I looked at it and I knew, you know, one of these minutes I got to quit and go back and ask for some help. Because it's going to really be bad to stand here all day and then go back and say I didn't do anything. So I looked at it for a little bit, and I drove back. And, you know, I really imagine as I left out of there with that pack of service tickets, if I'd have turned around, he was probably grinning to start with because he knew. But I had to humble myself and go back to him and tell him, you know what, that doesn't look like what I worked on back there in the shop. And he was nice. He went with me and started training me. And you know what it took was for me to say, I need help.
Yes.
I am not as good as I might think I am. And sometimes throughout life, the Lord will send some little things to remind me, to humble me. And I want to give you another little experience. You know, then I started building up some confidence that I can do this and I'm doing well. I got a call in the wintertime of a service call. The furnace is not working. Went to this guy's house, and the furnace is out in his garage. And it's always a little bit intimidating when the homeowner stands there watching you. But I saw that the blower needed work on it, so I pulled the blower wheel and the whole housing assembly out, and I laid it on his garage floor. And so I started up running it on the floor there to check it out. Well, I had one of those hooded sweatshirts that you pull over, and it's got a hood on it with these two strings on it. Well, you know, the Lord is able to bring us to where we're pretty humbled. Well, this guy's standing there watching me when I lean over this blower wheel that's running, and it caught both of my strings and wound them up. Well, you know, you pull that tight enough, and you only have a little window here to look out of. And, I mean, what do you do? You have just been... You've just been humbled. And those kind of things, you know, the Lord will come along, and just about the time I started feeling like I'm somebody now, this guy gets to watch me go through something like this. The same thing happened with the children of Israel. He was saying in Deuteronomy 8 and 2, I sent some things to you.
Yes.
I wanted to humble you.
Yes.
And then I wanted to prove you.
Yes.
I wanted to see what you would do about those times that would be humbling. Because we have a choice when he sees things, sends things our way to humble us. I can either take that and learn from it, or I can do no profit at it at all. Say, nah, I am good. Well, those things reminded me that, you know, I make mistakes too. I need help myself.
Yes.
And so I thought, well, you know, I'm over that. You know, I've been doing this for years now. But just a couple weeks ago at work, they have a new tenant that's coming in, and I work in an office building here in downtown Oklahoma City. This tenant is going to, it's a branch of OG&E, and they're going to take 5 floors. So the demolition crew came in, and they were going to strip out everything. They're taking ceiling tile, they're taking sheetrock off the walls, and they're going to start those floors over from just concrete and windows. So they called my boss and I to come up to them, and they said, we don't know about these floors. We need you to give us some information. So we're going to be stripping out the electrical on it. We want to make sure it's off. And I've worked there for 21 years, so I know the building fairly well, I thought. And so I told them. I gave them the answers that they needed. And they asked me about the emergency power, and I said, yes, the emergency power that feeds this floor is 7 floors away, but I'll take you to it and show you, because when they work on it, they keep somebody right there at the breaker to make sure nobody to turn it back on. So they said, okay, if you'll take us there. Well, I was going, and my boss was walking along behind me quite a ways with a contractor, the demolition contractor. And, you know, close enough that I could hear. And as we were walking back to see this panel, the contractor told him, said, it is so nice to work in a building where the maintenance man knows what's going on about it. Well, you know, your ears kind of perk up a little bit. That's better than saying, that guy's so sorry. And then my boss said, yeah, I'll tell you what, he's the best maintenance man in Oklahoma City. Well, that's better than saying, yeah, we're going to get rid of him tomorrow because you don't know him. So, you know, those things, they kind of get in my mind a little bit, and I'm feeling pretty good. So I go into this electrical panel, and we have to go in behind doors and everything to where they're really impressed by the time I get there. And I start explaining to them about this breaker right here is the one you need. And this electrician that is from off somewhere else, he's never even seen my building, he listened for a little bit. And then he said, isn't it this other breaker is supposed to be what takes care of that? And he was right. And immediately I thought about, you know what? The Lord knows how to bring us back down to the right level again.
Yeah.
To let us know, don't think too high of yourself. Because
yes.
Then it really didn't matter about my boss saying I was the best one in Oklahoma City. I just wanted to kind of get out of there because I had given that impression that I know everything. You know, it's a whole lot better to say, well, I tell you what, if I don't know it, I'll go find somebody that does. So the Lord will bring some things to us. That word abased, it really is about me seeing who I am.
Right.
That he humbles me to where I see where I am. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, we're talking about temporal things tonight. But it becomes even more important for me when we start talking about spiritual things. When I get to a place as the Laodicean church did. I said, I know where I am. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And God looking on all the time. It would have been a favor if God would have humbled them, if he would have brought something their way. And he tried to. You know, he tried to with Peter. He tried to tell Peter where he was. Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he could sift you as wheat. You know, if Peter would have humbled himself right then and said, Lord, I've been with you for some time now, and I know that you can read the heart of a man that doesn't even know it himself. So I accept that, and I ask you to help me. I believe Peter would have been able to bypass that trouble right there. But instead, this verse says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. That's for every one of us. There's also a verse in John, in the 15th chapter, that I need to remember. I'm the vine, 15:5, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And you know that fruit bearing even then won't be something that I was able to do. It's because I'm attached to the vine. And it says, for without me ye can do nothing. My life and breath are in thy hands, my joys and all I know. I live and breathe at thy command, then shall I leave thee no. There's another song that says, without him I could do nothing. Yes. Without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. And I need to remember always, this is what the Lord has brought me from. And should I fail to acknowledge God in it, this is what he could let me go back to. There is another one where Paul was saying, those things that could have been gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. The things that the Pharisees would have said, you're doing great in. He said, I count those things but loss, because it didn't come through Christ. This morning, Brother Steve Gillenbeck had a Thanksgiving that he gave to the Lord, telling us that last week on his job, he had a place that he needed the Lord to help him out with a situation, needed an answer, needed some help, some guidance. And he told the Lord, said, if you'll help me out on this, I'll come back with a thanksgiving. There's a verse that says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You remember, just like I believe God's interested in us exploring as mankind, exploring the outer space, the universe, if it will always cause my mind to be turned back toward him. I believe the same way in the things that we have need of. He's interested when I come to him and tell him, I don't have wisdom in this area. I need some help from you. I acknowledge who I am and who you are. Now, you know, we can plow through it and say, I can make my own decisions and then end up in failure. But he came to the Lord and said, I desire help from you. I need some wisdom in this area. And he acknowledged, the Lord helped me out in that. Gave his request and then returned to give thanks. We need to do that. I need to do it regular. And then after we have found out, without me you can do nothing, we need to also remember, like Paul, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I want to always, out in the future, at mealtime, and all the time, acknowledge God with thanks for what he's done for my life. Temporal things that he has blessed me with, the ability to get up in the morning and go to work, the things that he has blessed us temporally, but most of all for those spiritual things that he saw fit to allow me to have. There was a song this morning that Sister Propes called. It says, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. That's my prayer for myself in this time when the world says we don't need God. We can even destroy his commandments for mankind, that I will say, I need thee every hour. I desire your prayer.